It is scarier than Hollywood movies, isn't it?
You know, the reason I call it the Orwellian nightmare is because it is a science fiction-like movie that we're seeing unfold here in regards to the advanced technology, the privacy-invading technology, the Orwellian corrupt government programs that have reached a level of corruption that I don't know if we've seen in history before. We have the social structure, the control of information, a perpetual state of war, the personification of the party or of the president, these telescreens, microphones around every corner and everyone's cell phone. We can get into a lot of this stuff that people have been warning about, worrying about, and now a lot of it's here, George. And I have patent numbers for patents that have been fully authorized for some very creepy technology that only has sinister applications.
When George Orwell, Mark, wrote his book, 1984, a lot of those things, because, you know, I remember, I was 34 years old then. A lot of those things he had written about hadn't occurred. And a lot of people said, it's not going to happen. He's missed it. He may have missed it by some years, but he was right about what would happen, wasn't he?
Yeah, the reason we're talking about this, and we use the word Orwellian, some people may not even be familiar with it, is a reference to the author George Orwell and his classic novel, 1984, originally published in 1949. So this is decades ago, and this is such a classical piece of literature around the world for multiple reasons, because it really seemed to capture the social structure and society at the time and the fears, the deep-seated fears that maybe we all have about what is possible with a corrupt, out-of-control government and advanced technology. Now, when George Orwell wrote this book that a lot of this audience, a lot of people are familiar with, again, this was 1949. I mean, there's no VCRs, microwaves, none of this stuff. Yet he was able to clearly articulate a lot of the technology that we have and to show how it would be used by an oppressive government to mentally enslave the population, to keep everybody in a state of fear, to shape the society, to destroy family relationships, to paint foreign countries as enemies, the erosion of the language and of just the basic morale of society. And so I don't like to make comparisons in what we see in reality in our lives and in a fictional sense, in a literary book or in a film, but this is such a powerful book that George Orwell has wrote. And there's so many parallels that we have today in our own society. So I've just compiled 300 pages of them, and it's very scary. And there's going to be a lot of things that are rolling out very soon. The facial recognition systems are going to start hitting the streets here pretty soon. I mean, these have been tested and implemented in casinos and things for really a decade now. But it's right around the corner, George, and there's a lot of social implications that we're going to have to be addressing. And the parallels are so striking that I think that by discussing them that we can get a better understanding of the kind of world that we're living in, the kind of system that we're involved in, the power-hungry officials, the perpetual state of war, how the fear-based propaganda system works, and that's why I'm doing this.
The big question, Mark, is why is it leading us down this path? Why is it happening?
Well, we have an elite, criminal elite, the secret society, the Illuminati, that are functioning as a separate class, a separate social class, and they're the ones that are implementing these policies that are perpetuating this fear-based propaganda, using Osama bin Laden as the sort of ultimate omniscient boogeyman. And very parallel, very, very striking parallels to the bad guy in 1984, as I'm sure you're familiar.
Sure.
Emmanuel Goldstein. He, as you read the novel, you start to learn that this one man is seemingly behind every single instance of insurrection and every crime, every liquor store robbery. And he is the sole focus of the party and of people's hatred and emotions, and he is seen as the boogeyman that is the reason for the short rations, the long work hours, the bad work conditions.
Well, but they needed that, didn't they? The Illuminati, the one world government folks needed, and I'm not saying, first of all, please understand, Osama bin Laden was an evil terrorist. He hated America. and he hated us. As a matter of fact, one of his sons would constantly call him saying, "Dad, stop trying to kill innocent people." But the bottom line is, this group, the Illuminati, they needed to find a guy like him and create this additional monster, didn't they?
Absolutely. And we look at the abundance of Osama bin Laden dead conspiracy theories, as you call them. I've never heard the term conspiracy theory thrown around the mainstream media so much, really probably since 9/11, because it doesn't make sense. The lie is becoming very apparent to a lot of people. It's difficult to maintain. And you see the footage of what's purported to be Osama bin Laden watching videotapes of himself or watching himself on television.
He looks pathetic.
Well, he's probably watching himself wondering, what in the world? Because the media made him out to be this big superstar monster terrorist behind everything. And if he really still was alive in the last 5 or 6 years, if he really still was active, then he really had no power, no ability, no nothing. So there's something definitely the public is starting to realize this. And I think the reason why they had to sort of roll him out or ultimately kill him, if that was really him, is because it was a decade-long fairy tale now, and everybody was starting to doubt it and start realize this, so they had to kill him. And it seemed to be like, yay, the war on terror is over, everything's done. But then after the celebrations for a few days, now we have more Orwellian nightmare issues coming. We have the FCC is going to start sending mandatory text messages now to our cell phones, warning us
of something. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they made this announcement at Ground Zero. You had a bunch of the big wigs go to Ground Zero and make this wonderful announcement. I don't need to be getting a text message from the government on my phone, fear mongering me. That's why I turned the news off.
Has society crumbled this much where they need to get us all this incredible information, or is there that big plan just to keep us scared?
Well, I think it's the fear-based system has been used throughout history. It's and keep the population in ignorance. Most people aren't aware of real issues. They're so fragmented now in society. We have so many channels and YouTube channels and everything. Everybody can just get into their own little world. And so the mainstream is able to just kind of tap into everybody's lives and feed them the sort of the propaganda that's coming down from the top. But it's the ultimate tool. It's this fear-based system, because when you don't know and you're scared for your life, and this somebody who supposedly knows better than you is telling you, oh, I'll protect you, I'll help you. It's the ultimate con. It works very well, but it's been going on now, I mean, in America, hardcore now for 10 years since the September 11th attacks. There's a lot of people that are just sort of questioning this and waking up and really realizing how much we've been manipulated.
Facebook is scrambling to avoid a PR disaster right now after a security firm revealed that they have been giving advertisers a way to access their accounts and personal information, whether they were intentional or otherwise. You see Facebook as part of the nightmare, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a big critic of Facebook. Facebook, I mean, has so many implications. I think it actually supplements and destroys relationships more than social networking, as it says to do if it's not used in moderation. But there's so many aspects of Facebook that people don't know about. They're using facial recognition software now that can detect pretty much who you are as soon as someone uploads a photo of you. And actually, if you read the terms of service in these social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook, you actually are granting them a license to your photos. And so when something happens, like the Elliot Spitzer's hooker scandal broke, all of a sudden there's photos of his alleged prostitute and her family all over the news. How did this happen? Well, because she had a MySpace page, and MySpace is owned by News Corp, and they sold the photos. Her lawyer tried to say that this was copyright infringement, but you actually sublicense the photos to them. And that's just one instance. You know, people, a lot of students, a lot of college kids, high school kids, just kind of grew up with this, don't understand the implications of it. And I'm here to tell you that there's police looking at Facebook pages and actually instances of them sending fake friend requests to people using an attractive girl as a profile picture, and then scrolling through college students' pages and finding photos of them carrying alcoholic beverages and then actually arresting them.
No way!
Yeah, and there are multiple instances of this happening.